We're looking at Ephesians chapter 1, and we finally got down to verse 13 after 4 weeks. But it doesn't mean we're slow, it just means that there's a lot in this first chapter. So if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We looked at the Father's role in our salvation. The Father elects, predestines, chooses. The Son, what does the Son do? He redeems us. He forgives us. We're going to look at what the Holy Spirit does in our salvation today. The Father plans the church. The Son paid for the church. The Spirit protects the church. Electing, dying, sealing. And we'll talk about that. We sang the song this morning, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. 1878, Edward Hatch read that scripture in the Bible. It's John 20, 22. When he has said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he remembered the verse in the Old Testament, God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. One of the names of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is the breath of God. And so he wrote that hymn, Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will thy will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternally. Breathe on me, breath of God. The first mention of the Holy Spirit is the first and second verse of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There was already water there when God made the earth, and the Holy Spirit was moving, and the Holy Spirit is moving today. Henry Blackaby, the great Southern Baptist teacher on prayer, and I'm hoping that maybe we can do his study on prayer early in 2019 on Sunday night. But Henry Blackaby says, how do you do God's work? You look around, where is God moving? And then you join God. Look around at what God's doing and then join God if you want to do God's work. It's a very interesting way to look at it. The Trinity in salvation. God the Father saves us. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. By his word he begat us unto the truth. The Father saves us. The Son saves us. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. 1 John 5:12, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. It's just as simple as that. There are two destinations in eternity, smoking and non-smoking. Okay? He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. It's that simple. And then the Bible says the Holy Spirit saves us. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, but he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3:7. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us with the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Trinity were involved in our salvation. Now, it's common today for ignorant people, okay? There are four kinds of people in the world, people that know that they know, and people that know that they don't know, and people that don't know that they know, and people that don't know that they don't know. Those are the kind that irritate me. There are people who refer to the Holy Spirit as it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. He is the third person of the Godhead. The being of God is complex. Within the one God, there are three persons, co-equal in power and glory. The Holy Spirit is the third person. And the Bible, the way it talks about the Holy Spirit, indicates that he is a person. He reproves the world of sin. John 16:8, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. He teaches, John 14:26, he shall teach you all things. He speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks in your heart, crying, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, prays. Romans 8:26, for the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit leads. Seven times in the New Testament it says that Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to do this, to do that. The Holy Spirit appoints men unto specific service. Acts 13:2, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work that I have called them to do. The Holy Spirit is subject to appointment. The Father sends the Son, the Father sends the Spirit, the Son sends the Spirit. The Spirit never sends the Father anywhere, and the Spirit never sends the Son anywhere. The Holy Spirit is put to work by God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit ministers. He regenerates, born again. He seals, and we're going to look at that this morning. He baptizes with the Spirit, and he fills with the Spirit. He is affected like everybody else. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. And you'll notice the passage we read in the responsive reading. Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. Jesus comforted the disciples, but he said, I will send you another comforter. And the word another there is another of the same kind. The Holy Spirit is a person. So we refer to him as he. Now there are certain passages in the Bible that seem to indicate that the Holy Spirit is God. Isaiah 6, where the prophet Isaiah saw God on the throne. But Isaiah 6, 8, 9, let me read it to you. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Us. God is a plurality. Who will go for us? Let us make men in our image after our likeness. God is a plurality, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. You know about that. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. That's Isaiah chapter 6. Paul quotes this in Acts chapter 26 and says, the Holy Spirit said it. Isaiah says God said it, but Paul repeats it and says the Holy Spirit said it. The Holy Spirit is God. That's the same thing with Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, the great passage on the new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After these days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And several times it says God is saying this. But when you go over to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews says the Holy Spirit is saying this. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is God. Another example, and this is always real interesting to me, is Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. They had a piece of property, and they sold it, and they made a big deal. They told the church, yeah, we're giving you every dime we made off that property, except that wasn't true. They held back part of it. But they let everybody in the church think that they were giving every penny to the church off of that property sale. And so Acts chapter 5 is the first mention in the Bible of cirrhosis of the giver. They lied. Acts 5, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Acts 5, 2, and they kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now Peter says right there, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And to keep back part of the price of their land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. In verse 3, Peter says, you lied to the Holy Spirit. The next verse he says, you lied to God. That's because the Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. So, what is Paul going to say to us in the book of Ephesians? Look at Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. This is the third stanza of the hymn. Beginning in verse 3, what God the Father did in our salvation. Beginning in verse 7, what Jesus did in our salvation. Beginning in verse 13, what did the Holy Spirit do in our salvation? So look at Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. A.J. Gordon was a great Bible teacher at the beginning of the 20th century, and he wrote this story. Let me read it to you. An American with an English gentleman was viewing Niagara Falls and the whirlpool and the rapids at Niagara Falls. And he said to his friend, come and I'll show you the greatest unused power in the world. They're looking at the falls, the whirlpool, the rapids. And the man said, no, the greatest unused power in the world is God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is here. God's Spirit is inside us. God's Spirit energizes us. We don't get anything done without the Holy Spirit. So, look at verse 13. What does the Holy Spirit do? In whom you trusted, after you heard the word of the gospel, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When I make homemade jelly, I seal it. Now, my son-in-law's mother, Carol, we're going to have Thanksgiving dinner with them up in Tennessee. Carol, she doesn't seal her jelly. She puts the hot jelly in the jar, she screws the lid on them, turns them upside down, and trusts the heat in the jelly to seal the jars. I'm not that trusting. I water bath them for 20 minutes to make sure that jelly's good, okay? You seal it. You seal it to keep it until it's open again. You seal a letter. The Holy Spirit seals us. How did they use seals in the Apostle Paul's day? What's the historical background? It bore the mark or the image of the owner. Caesar would issue a law and he'd stamp his seal on it, and there was a picture of him on that seal, just like there was a picture of him on the Roman coins. It bore the image of the owner. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God has sealed us when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, and his picture is on our soul. We are sealed. It shows rightful ownership. That seal shows who the letter came from. That seal shows who owns the letter. And if you mess with the letter, you're messing with the owner of the letter. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. You are sealed by the Spirit of promise when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is a mark of authenticity. You see the seal on that letter? It means it's the real deal. Now, if you're, I was going to say really old. Eileen says I have to quit saying that. If you remember The Real McCoys with Arthur Brennan and Richard Crenna? If you are the real McCoy, then you are the real thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It shows authenticity, and it shows a finished transaction. Go buy a piece of property. Go buy a house. You go down and record the deed at the deed office, and you have to pay documentary stamps. It used to be 42 cents per $1,000 of property value. The doc stamps, you pay for them, and they're put on that deed that's recorded in your name. What is it? It's a seal, a finished transaction. You own it, now you can own something and not publicly record the deed. As long as nothing happens to that deed, that's your property. But it makes sense to record the deed so it's a public record in case you lose that deed, okay? It is not illegal if you don't record the deed, okay? Real estate law. But they're like doc stamps. The transaction is finished. It's complete. You are the owner. The Holy Spirit has sealed us. It is a finished transaction with God. We belong to God. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 9 and 10. I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses. He bought a piece of property out of town. Let me go back to verse 9. This is Jeremiah. I bought the field of Hanamiel, my uncle's son, that was in Anatoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver, verse 10. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses. And weighed him the money in the balances. So I took evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. Paul says we are sealed by the Spirit of God. It is a done deal. It is official with God. God loves us. We are God's child. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The old Puritans used to say, stamping God's image on our soul. That's what sealing is. So look at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is our earnest. You go to buy a house, FHA, you need to put 3% down to buy that house. VA, there's no down payment. Conventional mortgage, it's at least 20% down to buy that house. That down payment is called earnest money. It is the down payment of a future thing to come. You put down the 20% promising that you're going to pay the 80% later. In fact, I was looking at a place at a gated community. I was interested in their real estate. And they said, it's a 15% down payment, non-refundable. It's interesting. If you can't get financing, if you change your mind, you decide not to buy it, you're out to 15%. It's 15% non-refundable. I can't imagine anybody with any sense that would do that. But I guess they stay open doing that. How do they stay open and make a profit? Non-refundable, okay? But the earnest, the ancient Phoenicians, the neighbors to the Israelites, they called earnest holding money. I give you a down payment, you hold it for me. And it was a down payment for property, it was a down payment for cattle, it was a down payment for dancing girls. Wow. A down payment and a pledge on a piece of property. It's a promise that there is more to come. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. God gave us his Spirit as a promise that there is a lot more to come. Here, now, but there's a lot more in heaven for us, God's installment. Here, God gives us pennies. In heaven, we get the whole bank. Here, God gives us a couple of drips. In heaven, we get the whole ocean. Here, we get a tree. Might be a nice tree, but in heaven, we get the whole forest. Do you get the picture? The Holy Spirit is the down payment of everything God's going to give us in heaven. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "The eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." What does the Holy Spirit do in our salvation? The Holy Spirit seals us, and the Holy Spirit is our earnest, our down payment of what God's going to give us in the future. The Holy Spirit in our salvation. There was a millionaire. They got hit by a car. He's in bad shape. He's bleeding out. And he's telling everybody standing around, "I'll give you $1 million to get me a doctor. I'll give you $1 million to save my life." And he died. There is no amount of money or anything else in the world you can exchange for your soul. The Bible says that only Jesus can save our souls, and you need to trust in him. Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus asked a question one time, and it's still as important today as it was 2,000 years ago. "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your personal Savior, and he gives you the gift of eternal life, and the Father elects you and chooses you, and the Son forgives you, and the Spirit seals you. The work of the Trinity in salvation. Ephesians 1:1-14. We're going to sing an invitation hymn this morning, number 239, and it is "Come Holy Spirit," number 239. Let's turn to that hymn. It may be a new song to some of you. That's okay. You can learn something new. Good one. 239, "Come Holy Spirit, I have need of your healing grace." Let's stand together. Hymn number 239.